as we enter this new month of June, what can we expect for the rest of this year? Is there any hope left for America? Are we doomed? Is truth dead? We'll discuss it on today's edition.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And honestly, it's not just the United States that is facing some very precarious times. I believe that we're going to be seeing things on a global scale just breaking forth very, very soon. There comes a point, and how do I put this? There comes a point when an almighty God says enough is enough. You've cursed me, you've mocked me, you've ignored me. I have blessed you, I have given to you, and you dare insult me? You dare disobey me? At what point is enough enough? I've been watching several things here in the United States. I see politics getting filthier and dirtier than I could ever have imagined in my lifetime. And I watched here in the United States an entire political party that has gone pagan. And you can laugh at me all you want. I don't care. You can laugh at me. Oh, pagan. What do you mean, Bob, by pagan? One thing I have learned in the years of my ministry is that the ancient pagan gods with a small g were nothing but demons. Nothing but demons from the pits of hell that impersonated some kind of a new god, became a spirit of some kind of a new god. Even the children of Israel, after being freed from bondage in Egypt, they end up out in the Sinai Desert. Moses goes up to get the Ten Commandments. And just in the brief time that Moses is gone, now remember, they were enslaved for centuries in Egypt. And it didn't take long before there was mumbling and grumbling and complaining, you know, and maybe it wasn't so bad back there being slaves in Egypt. Funny how your mind can play tricks on you. And they mumbled and complained. And so what did they do? This spirit of opposition to God, this spirit of Antichrist that has already been in the world, gets into the hearts and deceives these people. They make a golden calf to worship. They create their own God so they can feel good about themselves. What have we done today? Politics here in the United States in particular, and this is duplicated in Germany, in the UK, in Canada, the United Kingdom, all across any place that claims to be some kind of a silly democracy. And democracy is a joke. Democracies are one of the most dangerous forms of government known to mankind. And that's why they push it. And let me explain why. A democracy is two wolves and a sheep debating what we're having for lunch. You have no protection in a democracy. It's mob rule. And that's why Democrats here in the United States talk about democracy, democracy, democracy. It is the fastest way to implement global communism is democracy. That's why they love it so much. And they want to be part of the power structure elite. With you and I eating bugs in our electric cars, where they know everywhere we go and everything we do. Why do you think? And I know I'm going off on a little tangent here for a moment, but this is a global thing. I don't care if you're listening on the Voice of Hope in Africa. I don't care if you're listening as a podcast. I don't care if you're listening on shortwave. Wherever you are, this applies to you. Do you want to know why they want a cashless society in the Western world? Do you want to know why they want a cashless society globally? This is one of the great things they're trying to push, because it's safer, it's easier, it's just better for you. It's a matter of control. It's a matter of telling you what you can and cannot do and what you can and cannot spend your money on. And it becomes nothing but fake digital funny money. Not that I'm saying the dollar is much better. The dollar used to be backed by gold, and I'm going to be talking about the dollar in just a minute and where I think everything is heading. But see, in a cashless society, you know, if you want to give your child a little quarter or something, you know, like when the tooth comes out, you know, how when you're a little kid, you put the tooth under the pillow and there's a quarter there the next day. Piggy banks where you could put change in. No saving cash for a rainy day. Now you have to disclose any kind of a tip you give to a waiter or your hairdresser. No giving of cash to the homeless or people you want to help. You know, if you have something you want to sell, like a garage sale, how are you going to sell it? Are you going to take a credit card now? I mean, this is ridiculous. No buying anything with privacy. What it comes down to, wherever you live, when you have a 100% digital currency, your life is 100% dependent on a power source, the internet, and what the government allows you to spend your money on. And I mentioned the other day this push toward the electric vehicle. It's another way to control your freedom. And a lot of people don't see it. I get a kick out of those that say, well, you know, Bob, I save a lot of money. I've got an electric car, and it doesn't cost me much at all to charge up that electric car. And you're probably right. It may not, depending where you live. If you have the infrastructure. I mean, I know we're on the Voice of Hope in Africa, and times, because of certain seasons, the rivers and water that power the hydro dams can be below average, and there can be rolling blackouts. And sometimes this program may not air because of that. But there's nothing you can do. How is that society going to be dependent upon an electric car when you don't even have a dependable power grid? California has shown that their infrastructure for power is dismally so far behind, so antiquated, so overregulated, it is impossible and it's expensive. How many people that own an electric car have gotten that notice as a text? Do not charge your car. The grid is at capacity. And there's no plans to fix it. Last week here in the United States, we learned that we put $7 billion with a B dollars aside to build all kinds of charging infrastructure across the United States. $7 billion spent. Only 7 charging stations built. That's $1 billion a charging station? That's like $1 billion for each gas station you have in your little town. It's ridiculous. Elon Musk was able to spend $1 billion and build a lot of his charging stations around the country. Now, don't get me wrong. I think there is a place for electric cars, and I think over time, technology always improves. I mean, I've watched how computers have improved since the 1970s to today. I've watched how technology moves forward, but you don't make technology happen by legislation. Technology happens by science, by research, by trial and error, not by mandate. And this is how stupid the leftists are. They think they can legislate science. Of course, they try to do that too with medical science and everything else. So why not, you know, this? As we leave this month of May and prepare for the month of June, there are a few things that are on my heart and my mind. Number one, I dread the day that we will be pushed into a cashless society. That means every little penny you spend will be recorded. Every transaction can be tracked. Is that the life that you want? This war on cash, to make it almost criminal, is criminal in and of itself. But then again, many of our governments have gone rogue and criminal. They don't do what they promised to do when they were conceived back in the day. I realize that the spirit of Antichrist is here. Earlier in the month of May, the United Methodist Church here in the United States gathered in Charlotte to have their big meeting that was supposed to be held in 2020 that was postponed because of the pandemic, and they decided rather than have one somewhere in between, they just waited the 4 years and did it now. And what they did, as far as I'm concerned, is they committed spiritual suicide. They now have thrown out, effective at the end of this year, their book of discipline, and in essence, every biblical stand that the church once had has now been, well, been revoked. They voted and said, God, we don't believe you anymore. God, we're not doing it your way. God, we demand you to do it our way. God, we demand that you celebrate our sin with us. God, are you, do you hear us? But they're not the first church to go apostate. They're just the latest. And there'll be more. Trust me, they're going to be more. I watched this progression that started way back. I mean, I saw it happening in the 1970s when I was in college. And really, the seeds for all of this were sowed way back in the, even in the 1700s to a degree, and the 1800s, and then one by one, these seminaries began to go, well, just a little bit to the left. But nobody really noticed because, you know, our denomination is so secure. Always remember that Harvard, Yale, Princeton, all these great universities here in the United States were founded to be seminaries, to train pastors. And then lawyers and doctors. Those were the things that were important. Pastors, clergy. And all these schools have now abandoned, cursed, and spit in the face of God. If somebody came to me, if I was on a church council, I mean, forget the fact that I'm a church pastor, but let's just say I'm a layman, I'm on a church council. And some young candidate comes to visit our church to be a pastor. And I see a degree from Princeton or Harvard or Yale, I'm going to say no. No, not a chance. Not a chance. I'm not going to have the seminary of the Antichrist that has now infected this individual to now infect our church. But see, that's what happened. And it happened even in the Lutheran church. I'm going to give you an example. Some of you may not know this, and it may not mean much to you. There are some big divisions within Lutherans here in the United States and Canada, and just so you know. The largest Lutheran church body was a group that came together in the 70s and was, you know, finally formulated in the 1980s called the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And they are not evangelical, they're antichrist as far as I'm concerned. You can say what you want, but they are not truly a church. They are not truly the body of Christ. They're impersonators. And I can remember way back in the 1970s, I was in college, and trying to understand, I was in what's called the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church at that time in my life. And back then, there were a handful of very conservative, Bible-believing Lutheran churches. And there was an uproar at the big seminary in St. Louis of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. There were a bunch of, shall we say, woke professors that were kind of liking some of this new strange theology, and the students believed in it, and the administration said, no, we don't believe that. We believe what has always been believed by Christians. And they rebelled, and the students and a bunch of professors left, and they walked off campus and started their own seminary called Seminex, which was then, well, became a part of a seminary in Chicago. And all of those people ended up in the ELCA. And they started doing things that were an anathema to the faith. And over time, as the leaven came in, they started rejecting the most important tenets of Scripture and making a mockery of it. And now they celebrate homosexuality, same-sex marriage, transgenderism, abortion clinics are blessed. In other words, this is all an anathema to God. They've gone full tilt Satanist, as far as I'm concerned, full tilt Antichrist. They're not a church anymore. They are a fake church. They're an abomination. They are what 2 Thessalonians calls the great falling away. And not only were certain Lutherans doing that, the Episcopal Church went that direction. And it was getting worse and worse, beginning in the 80s and then the 90s. And then in the early 2000s, they decided to consecrate as a bishop of New Hampshire an openly gay man that had divorced his wife and now living with another man. And they made him a leader. And a bunch of churches left, which is good. Many churches stayed. But one of the problems with some of the breakoff groups, a lot of the things that were wrong with the Episcopal Church have remained in some of these so-called conservative bodies. The big one in particular, ACNA, I worry about them. They're trying to have dual integrities. They're trying to be all things to all people. Oh, we're conservative here, but not so conservative over there. No, you either are or you are not a member of the body of Christ. The Presbyterian Church, United States of America. I started seeing 20 years ago these very affirming and loving and welcoming churches just being very blatant. If you're gay, we want you here. That was 20, 25 years ago. And so United Church of Christ, all these once solid denominations have gone apostate. And as I've said before, the number of true Christians is declining at a rapid rate. And so we watched in May the United Methodist Church finally make it official. We are the church of the Antichrist. And if you didn't leave and join the Global Methodist Church, and by the way, I know some of you are Methodist, and maybe some of you are in that. I worry about the future of the Global Methodist group. And the reason is a lot of the same leaven or issues or problems that got the United Methodist Church to this crossroad are still there today. They're still in the underlying part of that church, and they'll raise their ugly head down the road. Mark my words. You must purge the leaven. You must remove the sin out of the camp. You cannot abide with some of the same things that destroyed your church in this new church. And I admire some of the Methodist churches that for the time being have just declared themselves independent. Even Southern Baptist, and I'm thinking back over the years, a bulwark of faithful people, firm in their beliefs, wanting to see the world come to Jesus Christ. And I'm beginning to see a lot of this nonsense creeping in to even many a Southern Baptist church. Where in one former Southern Baptist church, now you have a divorced woman as a pastor. When are you going to wake up and realize that God is not going to be mocked? This cannot be allowed to stand. And then we enter the month of June, and I'll spend more time next week talking about these particular issues as we get into June, and I'll spend at least one program a week talking about Pride Month, or Pride Cometh Before the Fall Month. This open mockery, the same kind of stuff that condemned Sodom and Gomorrah, caused the flood on this earth. Notice that they used the rainbow flag. God destroyed the earth because of iniquity, and this is some of the sin that was part of it. He promised never to destroy it with water again. It was his symbol. And we'll talk about that a little bit next week. Notice that they've co-opted that to celebrate their sin. We're mocking God. I saw a story the other day, and I'll just kind of mention this. This goes down to St. Petersburg in Florida. And the big concern right now for the police there, they're looking for a guy that spun some donuts and left some tire marks on a gay pride roundabout. Number one, there should be no gay pride roundabout in any city, period. Why do we have to have sexuality on the roads? Why are we doing this? This is the spirit of Antichrist. This is the spirit of evil. This is what's bringing condemnation to America at a rapid pace. And the police are more worried about chasing down this motorist for some kind of a perceived hate crime? This is insanity. And the mayor, reprobate Ken Welch, is enraged and declared the person needs to be found. This is a felony, don't you know? Tire tracks fade, but pride colors don't. That's what the police department said. Respect our art. No, I will not respect your art. It is insulting to my God. It's insulting to everything that is decent. Remove that trash from the roadside. What do you want next? Do you want to have naked people and porn sites in your roundabouts? How low can you go? How disgusting can you be? And so, Mayor Welch, you're a reprobate, you're disgusting, you're evil, you should resign, you're unfit for office. Of course, a once great city like St. Petersburg has been taken over by the alphabet activist, city by city, place by place, town by town. Big cities now coming to small towns. You know, Is there a city ordinance that prohibits heterosexual motorists and pedestrians from using gay pride crosswalks? You know, what do we, I mean, this is getting crazy. It's also very sickening to me. And now we're going to have to endure an entire month of this reprobate nonsense, this evil, this celebration of sin promoted by politicians, promoted by the Democrat Party in huge numbers that be gay or go away or whatever. I mean, this is insanity. This is evil. How long before God says, I've had enough? I have been tolerant. I have been patient. I have given you every option and every opportunity to repent and turn away from your sin. You have murdered in the womb millions upon millions of children. And their cry, their blood cry, comes before my throne. You have made a mockery of marriage. You've made a mockery of the family. You've made a mockery of justice. God's condemnation, it's coming. And I warn you, it's coming sooner than later. Are you ready for the judgment that is to come? That's why we as Christians need to stay connected in ways we have never conceived of before. This is why Truth to Ponder, this radio program, is aired on shortwave. It is also aired as a podcast. And I'm looking at some other platforms to put it on. Look, I know many of the secular platforms can come and go. They can be risky at times. I could lose. I could be deplatformed at iHeartRadio or Spotify or wherever these things could and can happen and will happen. I know it. I truly do know it. But I'm going to use every avenue I can. And we're going to be going full tilt into this as much as we can in June and July and August to get the word out. And then we're going to work on finding a way to have our own backup plan and platforms and other ways to connect. This, I think, is the time that we have to do these things. My heart is telling me, I may be wrong, but I am becoming increasingly convinced that we're about to get a brief window of opportunity that may not last that long. Here in the United States, a brief window where governments will not be coming after Christians, where things will settle down, where there won't be as much damage to our faith, our family, and our finances. And it's going to be during this time, you must, not may, you must do something to prepare for the inevitable time of persecution and difficulty that is coming. You can be ready. You can get through this. It may not be the great tribulation, but it will be a time of intense tribulation that'll follow. God's judgment is not far off. So I'm going to ask you, are you ready? Are you ready for that day? Is your church preaching the gospel? Or are they preaching another gospel? Are you hanging in your United Methodist Church or your Evangelical Lutheran Church in America or your Presbyterian Church USA or the United Church of Christ? Are you still, because grandma gave the stained glass window or somebody made a big down payment on the organ or whatever, doesn't matter. The Bible says when it comes to this kind of evil, get out from among them and do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Many of you are going to have some hard decisions to make. I know my little church, we're preparing. I want to prepare people to be able to do home church ministry if needed around the country. There's a lot of work yet to be done. Do you want to be a part of this work? Do you want to help this program grow as a podcast? I need to raise up people to do more of what I'm doing. Doesn't need to be me. I'll be 70 this year. I'd like to be able to eventually pass off a lot of this to those that God has raised up. And I would like to continue as long as we can on as much shortwave airtime as we can get. Some of you have really come through and surprised me. We're going to hang in there a little bit. The schedule is being reduced at WTWW. We're going to continue a little while longer on a reduced schedule. If you believe in our mission and ministry, now is the time I need to hear from you. We're about to face a month with celebration of transgenderism, preferred pronouns, and people showing their rear ends literally naked on the street celebrating evil. And we want to celebrate Jesus. Visit our website, truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. We use Give, Send, Go. Matter of fact, I'll give that address in just a couple of minutes from now so you can get a pen or pencil ready. Or you can make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowie, 24319, 24319. And I'll give that address and all of it in 3 minutes.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The well-insulated heart coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pet out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Ever discover a heat loss in your house? Heat escaping through an opening, might be a crack in a doorway or a small opening in a window or in the roof or in the walls. You can literally feel it. You can feel the heat escaping. You can feel the cold. Well, how does a house lose heat? By having leaks and openings, by being open. A house that doesn't have enough insulation from the outside, it's always going to be cold inside or hot or whatever it is outside. A house that doesn't have strong walls, the same way. Well, there's a secret here. In the Nativity account, it says Mary or Miriam treasured these things in her heart. She was deep, a deep person. She kept things inside as well. She kept the things of the Lord as treasures in her heart. Well, we got to do the same thing. You have to have a strong inner life, like a well-insulated house. You need to cultivate a strong sense of the word in your life, in your heart, as treasures inside you, your secret life, your devotional life, your inner life. You see, you'll be like a house without that. You'll be like a house with no insulation. And when it's cold outside, when things are tough outside, you'll be depressed. When things are going bad outside, you're going to be sorrowful. You're going to be up and down with the world. But if you keep a strong inner life, if you keep an insulated heart, inner treasure, inner relationship with God, when the storms of life come your way, the cold winds of life blow in your direction, it's not going to touch your heart, your peace or your faith or your joy, because you kept the treasure, you kept the fire going, you kept the heat in, you had a well-insulated heart. Want more? Ask for The Heart, A Heart of Miracles on CD. Now, the free gift for you. Listen, what if you discover the place of the lost Ark of the Covenant? Well, newly revealed ancient discovery just as awesome. The Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD. You're going to love it. It's our free gift to you. And Sapphire's Daily Spiritual Vitamins to revitalize your walk. Or free New Testament. How do you get all these gifts free? Well, easy. Just remember Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua, and you dial it. So, to receive your free gift, just call now. 1-800-YESHUA-1. And you will be blessed, but call now, toll free, 1-800-YESHUA, Y-E-S-H-U-A-1. The Jewish people brought you the blessings of salvation. I invite you to join with me to bring it back to them, to bless those who blessed you, and to reach the unreached peoples from every nation. Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. It's amazing. It's the farthest way you can ever touch the world. Shortwave radio. It's 1-800-YESHUA, Y-E-S-H-U-A-1. Or write me direct, The Nice Jewish Boy at Box 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. That's Box 1111. It's Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn. Saying Shalom Aleichem. Keep the heat in, my friend. Peace be to you and Messiah. Tikvatenu, our hope.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of our weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I want to remind you a lot of topics coming up next week, some really important ones. We're going to cover climate change. We're going to cover some of the weird stuff happening here in the United States with lawfare. We're going to cover the beginnings of Pride Month and how we are basically committing spiritual suicide in the Western world. These are things that have to be addressed, and we as Christians need to be prepared to deal with and stop trying to hide and think it's not going to affect us. It is. It's infecting entire church bodies. Now, when I went to the break, I said I would give you all the address information on contacting this program and how you can support our mission and our ministry. Number one, we have a website, truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. And there you can see a little button that says support us, and you can help us out. It gives the mailing address. It also gives a link to Give, Send, Go, a Christian online processing organization that we've been using now for about 2.5, almost 3 years. We generally do not use PayPal. I don't like to use it. We have it available if needed. And if you need to use that, well, just send me an email, bob@truth2ponder.com, bob@truth2ponder.com, and I can connect you in a way to use that if that's what you need to use. Also, at the website, you can find out where we're aired and the places we're going to be, and I'll be adding some stuff next week to that. And if you prefer to mail a check or money order, you can use Ancient Word Radio, and that's what you make the check out to, Ancient Word Radio. Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, 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 Virginia. And the zip code 24319. That's 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia. And the zip code 24319. Now, hopefully, very soon, maybe as early as next week, this program is going to be aired on another platform called Conviction Radio. It's a new online Christian talk network with an app where you can hear programming running on a schedule or even programs like this on demand. And I'll be telling you more about it as we try to put this together this coming week. Now, this past Sunday, at our little church here in Southwest Virginia, Trinity Chapel, it was celebrated as Trinity Sunday. Many churches don't follow a calendar anymore, but I think this is one of those Sundays that we forget about, but we shouldn't. It's a Sunday to remind us of what do we believe. And so the message that I preached about what do we believe, the simplicity of the Christian faith, may be helpful to you. Listen now from the sanctuary of Trinity Chapel. You may be seated. Going to start the message a little bit different today. First, just a little side note. I wish I had bought all the material with me. This hymn that you just heard, the man that wrote it, and I was reading about this the other day, and of course at my age, the name now skips out of my mind. A man that loved the Lord did some writing, and after he passed away, as they were going through his things and almost threw things out, they discovered the lyrics to this hymn. In his writing, something he had written before he died and never completed it, and it was then given to a friend who then talked to somebody else that wrote the melody, Nicaea, which we sing it to, Holy, Holy, Holy. And this is a hymn traditionally sung at the beginning of Trinity or on Trinity Sunday. If you remember the lessons, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But there's something else that I want to share, and I'm going to kind of go through this with you. The church at the very beginning, when people would say, well, what do we believe? The apostles wrote down in simple language what we as Christians believe. That's called the Apostles' Creed. Pretty self-explanatory. A little later, when there were issues, about 300 and some odd years later, where they were trying to make Jesus some kind of a created being and not the Son of God, they assembled together, and this is kind of a strange thing to understand. The call went out to have all the church leaders and bishops at that time, leaders of the church from all over the world, to assemble in the city of Nicaea. And they put the word out and said, we're going to gather like in a year or two from now. Bishops from as far away as England showed up. The place was packed. The church had grown that much. And there they sat down in prayer and wrote what we now know as the Nicene Creed. Now today I'm going to be really nice. We're not going to go into the Athanasian Creed. That one came later. And if you want a really detailed, right down to the every bit of your faith, you can recite takes quite a while, the Athanasian Creed. But today, as we begin this message, I've got this little video that I'll be reading along with you to remind us of the Apostles' Creed. Now, in the Apostles' Creed, I want to just explain one word that is sometimes misconstrued terribly. Actually, there are two. We'll get into it in a moment. The term Catholic is not the name of a church body or denomination. It just means the faith that everybody has believed from the beginning. The church universal, that's all it ever meant. It doesn't belong to any particular denomination. And that word has been freely used in the creeds. Some churches change Catholic to Christian, but it essentially, that's what it's supposed to mean. So what is the Apostles' Creed?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
A very simple expression of the faith that in the earliest times of the church, those that would come to be baptized, those that would come eventually to communion, this is what they were asked. What do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And they would understand in the simplest of terms the faith. Today in the gospel, there's that famous verse. We all know John 3:16. I'm sure all of us can recite it from the King James Version. I mean, this is how we all learned it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all that believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Sometimes I really believe the church makes getting into a relationship with Jesus Christ, coming into his saving grace, more complicated than it needs to be. Barriers. Added on items. I remember a song I once heard. It's got to be like 50 years ago, maybe longer. And it was kind of a Christian song of the era. Faith is so simple. This has been something that has troubled me for years, especially when I got into the ministry, and I'm in a very denominational church that has canons and rubrics and rules and regulations and things you're supposed to do. And one day, I'm going, why? Whatever happened to the simplicity of the gospel? For God so loved the world. Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to the simplicity of those that... Remember the woman with an issue of blood. And Jesus is coming into a town and all the crowds are clamoring to see this guy that's doing all these miracles. And this woman is trying to get to Jesus because she wants to be healed and she believes she can be healed. And she simply touches the hem of his garment. And Jesus feels the power leave. Now, he knew who touched him. Her faith was so simple. She believed on the Son of God to heal her. And not only did Christ heal her, but as he did with everybody, if you ever noticed any time Jesus healed somebody, go and sin no more. Strange answer, strange statement. Person is healed, now go and sin no more. In other words, it is time to get right with me so I can bring you to the Father. I have made a commitment to myself over the last several years. to never make faith complicated. There should be no barriers. Well, you got to come to this particular class. And if you don't come to this particular class, and if you don't, I've heard it all before. My concern, what did Jesus tell the disciples as he ascended into heaven? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. The first part was get them into the faith. There shouldn't be the wall. One of my favorite hymns has always been Just As I Am Without One Plea, that thy blood was shed for me. Because there's nothing that I can do to earn my salvation. There's nothing I can do to make it come quicker. There's nothing I can do to make it bigger and better. It's a free gift of God. If there's a message to be had from this church today to you, to those watching, and as we prepare to endeavor into additional external ministries from here with a radio station, hopefully in a few months, on the air, 24/7, is to share the simplicity of that message with people in a lost and dying world. I'm really afraid that we have entered into a time of what I call cultural Christianity, particularly in the southeastern United States. And I want to say this, and I don't want to sound offensive, so forgive me in advance if it comes off a little bit offensive sounding. It's like, I love my freedom, I love my pickup truck, I love my Bible. They got it in the wrong order. It should be, I love my Lord, I'm thankful for my family, and I appreciate all the blessings and the things that, God, you've given me. Cultural Christianity is probably one of the most dangerous things we can possibly comprehend. It almost cheapens it. It's kind of like, there's a term that I used to hear from Christians in the past called cafeteria Christians. You know what I mean when I say, you know, at a cafeteria, you go into the line, yeah, I think I'll have the macaroni and cheese, and I'd like to have the turkey and dressing. Ooh, that mashed potatoes, you know, we choose what we want. Those good vegetables we should be eating, we don't get into those. Oh, dessert? Yeah. Peach cobbler, love it. We do that. And sometimes Christians today have become cafeteria Christians. Yeah, I want the salvation. I want that fire insurance. Because don't you know, if you live a good life, you all go to heaven anyway, so it doesn't matter if we don't fellowship. And see, this is the kind of mentality that cultural Christianity brings. I mentioned this on a radio program a few weeks ago. I can remember years ago, and I don't want to sound political, so I'm not doing it, but what I'm about to say is not to be taken politically. But I remember hearing something, and my first reaction was I was kind of upset when the President of the United States at the time, Barack Obama, said, we are no longer a Christian nation. I'm like, what do you mean we're no longer a Christian nation? A lot of people were indignant about that. But you know, over the years, hate to admit it, but he's right. We aren't. When more than half of the people in the country don't even associate with any kind of faith or church at all, 53% unchurched, disconnected. Of the 47% that remain, many are in church bodies that have rejected most of what's in this book right here. And all that's left is a remnant. That, to me, is scary. He's right. We've heard, I use the term crino, Christians in name only. It's cultural. Cultural. Yeah, we're a Christian nation. We're founded on Christian principles and this, that, and the other. And I know that back in the 1700s, they bought Bibles. First thing that Congress ever did. So I guess we're a Christian nation.
But do we as a nation and as a people, do we act Christ-like? No. We gossip, talk about people behind their back. Do we share the good news that Christ has given to us to bring us and redeem us and bring us into his fold? Many times we're afraid to. We don't know how. And sadly, this is partially my responsibility now too, we don't teach people how to share the good news anymore. There was a time we learned how to share our faith when the opportunity arose. It's not like you come to the door and push in there and demand to be heard. I've learned one thing in life, and I look at mine. I was very privileged to be raised in a, quote, church family and Christian family, given the depth of the word as a youngster. Then I had years to explore, I think, about every major denomination and minor and unknown and whatever in between over the years to visit, learn, share, and it became part of my experience in the faith. Oh, I can tell you stories of some of the places that I have been when I was in high school and in college and in my younger 20s. I have been to the snake handling church. I have been to one. I have been in the only white face in an all-black choir in a big black church in the middle of northeast Georgia, and enjoy some of the best food after church I think I ever had, bar none. I have been in Pentecostal churches, Baptist churches, Presbyterian churches, Methodist churches, you name it, I've been there. Because I was on a search, trying to find where God wanted me. And where God wanted me was the last place I expected to be. But understanding that there is a need in our society today to share that gospel. There is an imposter. There is a fake gospel out there. St. Paul reminds Timothy, if anybody should bring unto you a different gospel than we have preached, it's an anathema. It's cursed. Don't believe it. Even if an angel brings something different, don't believe it. The one message has been consistent. And so we fight. You know, I'm realizing more and more each day, and I wrestle with this in the other work that I do. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. There are some battles that I'm not fighting anymore. There's no need to. The battle's not even mine anyway. My job is to teach, inform, share, illuminate. And then when you look at things that are going on around us, put it in the light of God's word. What is that old hymn, good old Baptist hymn, trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. As much as creeds are important, there's another hymn that I remember from about 30, 40 years ago. My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It's enough that Jesus died for me and that he died for me. Does your faith have a resting place? That's the question. Do you abide in him and he in you? Got to keep it simple. It's not complicated. There's nothing you can do to earn it. There's no special magic thing you got to go through to get it. There's no secret handshake. Trust me, there isn't. All it takes is what Jesus said to Nicodemus. You must be born again of water and the Spirit. I'm going to close on this. I don't want to go along today because I know it's a holiday weekend. And I think I shared this analogy not long ago, but something just said, bring it back again today. Here in this part of the world, we don't often see airliners flying overhead. But we know that their airliners flying from Atlanta up to Washington to Philadelphia to Cleveland to Detroit, you know, their aircraft up and above us. We really don't see them because they're at 35,000 feet, which is like 7 miles away or 6 miles. But how many of you believe that there are airliners flying overhead? How many believe that they're up? You believe that? Yeah, because we've been to the airport. It's easy to believe in an airline because, you know, we've seen the airport. We know they're overhead. I've heard that so-and-so traveled from Atlanta up to New York City. The Bible talks about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And there's where the rubber kind of meets the road. It's a little nuance of the English language here. But follow with me. I can believe that airliners fly. And I could live till I'm 100 years of age. And if I never flew on one, I can just assume that they're there. But believing on something is a little bit different. To believe on, let's say, Delta Airline. I'm not going to say Boeing today. To believe on Delta. You go to the airport. You buy a ticket. Go through TSA. Get on the plane. Plane taxis out on the runway. You take off. Up you go. And you land at the other end. You now are believing on that airline to get you from point A to point B. It's where the rubber meets the road. It's not an abstract something that I believe in but I've never seen. No, I'm participating because I believe that they can fly me from point A to point B. It's a little nuance. Do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ can save you? Do you believe that he has redeemed you? I can give you an answer right now. You say, Lord, accept me, a sinner. I bring you nothing but grief. And he says, welcome and come home and abide with me. Just a couple of moments, we're going to come to his table. We will pray for the church, for the forgiveness of our sins. We will gather for communion, and then we'll leave here, hopefully a changed and encouraged people, with a message to share with our family and our friends. Father, I thank you for this time that you've given us today to remind us of the free salvation that you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on that cross for our sins, that we can be reconciled unto you. Lord, purge our lips. And as the prophet said in the Old Testament lesson, when that time comes and the call is out, may we be the ones that say, here I am, Lord, send me, send me. Father, for all those that are listening or watching today, if they have any doubts, may by the power of your Holy Spirit, all doubts and all fears be removed. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, our time is just about up for this weekend edition, and I want to thank you for listening on radio or as a podcast. By the way, if you'd like to see the video of this particular message, you can visit our church website, which is TrinityChapelVirginia.com. That's TrinityChapelVirginia.com. And you will see a video library on the front page. Just go down near the bottom. You'll see a bunch of connections for like YouTube and what have you. And there's one that shows a video library. You can see this message there right now. If you believe in the work that we're trying to do here at Truth to Ponder, to bring you truth, some information, news you need to hear, and really a positive message from God's Word, that's the most important thing I can do. You don't need another newscaster. There are plenty of conservative newscasters out there, and some that even sell you stuff. I don't do that. I don't sell anything. I'm not marketing anything. All I'm doing is, and there's no paywall. All I want you to do is listen, learn, and share. If you believe in the work that we're doing, you can support us by visiting our website, which is truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. Or you can make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowie is 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia. Zip code 24319. That's 24319. And until next week, may God richly bless you.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.